One of the hardest things to do day to day as a Christian is maintain a solid prayer life. How do you become a praying Christian? In this series of messages, learn how to pray through the Bible and develop and strengthen and enrich your relationship to the Lord through prayer.
Matthew is a good book of the Bible, but turn to Luke and Psalm 23. All right? I don't know, it's just like Matthew, it's great. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus is praying here, in a certain place, when he ceased, when he stopped praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You ever wonder why the disciples asked this question? Now, the scripture doesn't give us insight, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I think. I think if you heard Jesus praying, if you had any sense of spirituality about you, you would say, Lord, teach us to pray. Because it's Jesus praying. It's Jesus talking to the Father. I think we would all be maybe awestruck at the relationship, the connection, the communication that goes on there. I mean, I think you could be what we might term as my parents are great prayer warriors. We might say that about anybody on this earth, but if you see or hear Jesus praying, and what a great event that had to be, but if you see or hear Jesus praying, you're probably going to ask a very, very similar question, no matter how good you of a prayer, if you will, that you are. The second thing that in my mind that I think the disciples like us were probably frustrated in their prayer life. How many of you have ever been frustrated in your prayer life? Like you like get down to pray and you're like, here we go again. I mean, seriously, it's like here I am all over again. It's like being on a diet. Here we go again. One more grapefruit. Here we go again. One more thing. How many of you ever prayed like this? Now be honest. You don't have to, if you're not super vulnerable like I am, you don't have to be. God made you how he made you. But how many of you ever thought something like this? I just got to gut my way through it again. I'm telling you, I think that fairly regularly. I'll just be honest with you. Until I saw some things in the scripture that I got some help with that I want to teach to our church family. Now, reading the Bible is very easy for me because I find it super interesting and informative and convicting. I find the Bible, how many find the Bible easier than prayer? Not everybody, but I certainly find reading the Bible. I spend all day reading the Bible. I got to take breaks for coffee and stuff, but I could take all day reading the Bible, but praying was like, oh man. So several years ago, a young pastor and I were talking, and he goes, hey, have you ever read this book? It's titled Praying the Scripture. And I said, I never have. It's written by a guy named, and I want to give credit where credit is due, to a professor named Don Whitney. We sell some of his books in our bookstore. We'll eventually sell this book. And then I read another book, and I'm reading another book by a guy named Evan Howard on the same subject of praying the Bible. And when I read it, I've read so many books on prayer to help me. I've read every work of E.M. Bounds on prayer, and every one of them have excited me. I've read Andrew Murray's book on prayer that we saw. We saw both those books in the bookstore, and they all are a huge and wonderful blessing in my life. But I keep coming back to the same thing. Prayer can have problems. I want to talk tonight about the problems of prayer. First point. What's the first problem of prayer? Well, I'm going to tell you in my mind, the first problem of prayer is boredom. If I get bored in prayer, I often think I'm a second-rate Christian. How many of you have ever been praying and you pray for about, I don't know, you pick the time, 30 seconds. You're like, dear Heavenly Father, man, and you follow the ACTS acronym, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Lord, you're really amazing. You're really good. You're awesome, and I love you, and I said that yesterday. Lord, you're really good. You're really amazing. You're really wonderful. I wonder if Five Guys is open at 5 a.m. That would be fun. Am I the only one that ever does that? I'm just saying, it's me. I find it super easy to get bored. You're 5 minutes into prayer. Somebody said, Pastor, I think we'll be praying for eternity. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes my 5 minute prayers seem like an eternity. Like, how long have I gone? Like, I've said everything. I've prayed through my prayer list. I've prayed through my prayer list in English. I prayed through my prayer list in Spanish, and it takes about the same amount of time. I've prayed through my prayer list in Greek, and I don't know Greek. And I'm doing everything I can to spend more time in prayer, because I read you need to spend a lot of time in prayer. And Jesus said to the disciples, could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? And so I'm like, 1 hour of prayer? And 5 minutes in, I'm just being candid. I find it easy to get really, really, really bored. Now, not always, and not all the time, but there are a vast majority of the time, I find it very easy, unless I have a major burden or know someone with a major burden, to struggle with boredom in prayer. Now, again, I want to give freedom to people who say, no, prayer's the easiest. I talked to somebody the other day. It's the easiest of the spiritual disciplines for me. In 30 years of pastoring, 29 years this November, I've met one person who said that. Every other person I've ever talked to has said prayer is the most difficult of the spiritual disciplines they have. Doesn't mean it's a spiritual rule. It's just anecdotal on my end that hey, we struggle with boredom in prayer. The second problem is monotony. Praying for the same thing, the same way every day. Before long, your mind begins to wander, and you're thinking about your job, your upcoming vacation, why Amazon hasn't delivered your order. You slap yourself back into, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be praying. I even have prayer lists, and I find myself wandering with a prayer list. How many of you ever prayed? And it was maybe too much vulnerability, but I've been praying, and I'm like, Lord, be patient with your pastor, all right? Lord, you know the needs on this list. Please answer them all. Close it up and move on. I've prayed that in sincerity. Like, Lord, you already know. Come on, your will be done, my God and Father. And I'm moving on to a worship or reading or something. That's just, like, come on. I'm sincere, but I'm just saying the same thing about the same thing. Number three, there's an inability to express what you need to say. Lord, I don't even know what to say right now. You struggle to convey the burden of your heart or the direction of your heart. Now, some people, my dad, I give so many positive illustrations about my dad, and here might be positive for some people. It might be negative for some folks, but for my dad describes himself as a plower. And if you know my dad, you know that's how he is. My dad, I'll never forget the first time Bernie visited my dad's church. Maybe the first or second time. And Bern came back. He wasn't on staff yet. Bern's parents live in Amarillo. He didn't go there just to visit the church. But he went on a Wednesday night. And if you guys think I preach long, you should hear my dad. And Bernie showed up on this Wednesday night. And my dad, you know, open your Bible, everything else. And he said, I'm going to teach tonight 37 things to consider when praying. And I'll never forget it, because Bernie wrote, if you know Bern, this is how he did it. He wrote all of the points down. I think they got through five or six or whatever it was. And Bernie comes back, and we're in discipleship about 3 or 4 weeks later. And I'm, hey, how's it going? Well, you know, Pastor, I'm just kind of frustrated with some stuff. Okay, great. What's going on? Not great that you're frustrated, but great that we're talking about it. Like, what are you frustrated about? He goes, well, I heard your dad preach on 37 things to consider about prayer. And I just started laughing. And he goes, why are you laughing? I said, because he probably got through about 3 or 4. And closer to the end, he kept saying, I got to hurry, I got to hurry, I got to hurry, I got to hurry. And if he'd stopped saying, I got to hurry, he could have shared 2 or 3 more points. And so we laughed about that. And he goes, your dad gave so many things to consider about prayer. I'm such a task-oriented person. I'm trying to check all the things off when praying. We can make prayer really, really strong, but a plower personality can just kind of pray that way, and they can pray that way for the rest of their life. I am not a plower personality. I'm a nuclear bomb personality. I want to get in, blow up, go home. How many of you are more like me than you are like, I want to do this for the rest of my life? Like, man, alive, I don't want to sit here for 9 hours going, Lord, be with
Bernie and bless him, and be with John and bless him, and be with Alex and bless him, and be with Andrew Mayer. Oh, Lord, be with Andrew Mayer. And so it's an inability to express what we want to say. Number four, we can get overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. My wife has struggled with her, especially when my mother-in-law first got sick, with knowing exactly how to pray. And she was just overwhelmed. I remember a conversation we had, and I'm not going to quote her directly because I can't remember the direct quote, but it was something like this. She said, Chris, I'm just overwhelmed because I'm not sure how to pray, and I feel like a bad daughter because I'm not sure that I need to pray for her healing or for grace to make it through this struggle and bring God glory. We can be overwhelmed, can we not, in prayer? We can. And then the last problem in prayer is praying for things that you want. If we're not careful, James chapter 4 that we talked about today, just by way of application this morning, you have not because you ask not, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it unto your lust. If we're not careful, what we pray for is the promotion, is the health, is for family, is for a nicer house, is for a better car. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with any of those prayers, but when we pray simply to consume things to our lust, that's the problem in praying. We just simply pray like, oh, Lord, give me this and 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 give me this. And again, no problem in praying for those things except that except for the reality that sometimes that becomes our focus. Like, I'm going to get on my knees and ask the sugar daddy in the sky, if you will. I'm not trying to be disingenuous here or sacrilegious, but just ask God to give me everything that I want. It's like we take our Christmas list to Jesus every day. And if you're like me, you've at times probably found yourself doing something like that. That's probably what you've done. We have some problems in prayer. Truth be told, when that happens, you often feel like a second-rate Christian. How many of you have got up from praying going, I wish I was better at that. I just wish I was better. People come up with weird ways to do stuff like that. I remember I was asked to preach many years ago at a tent revival. It was a revival in a tent. For those of you that didn't know what a tent revival was, it wasn't a little tent, like a four-person tent. That'd have been a really small tent revival. It was a big, giant tent here in San Diego County, and they were trying to reach people in the community, and that was great. And they said, hey, Pastor Chadwick, why don't you come early and we'll pray? Great. People do that all the time. So I get there, and there's a bunch of guys. They're all pumped up. No lie, they had all, Byrne will know what church I'm talking about. They all had about four energy drinks right before I got there. And they said, let's go pray. I didn't have any energy drinks. And we go outside, and the pastor goes, Chris, why don't you start us off? And so I thought it would be a little bit like maybe like our Sunday night prayer time, like I would pray for like 2, 3, 4 minutes, and then somebody else would pray, and then somebody else would pray. And so okay, I had no idea of the format. I knew I was in a suit and kneeling in the dirt. That's what I knew. And so I said, Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, and as soon as I said I pray, every guy in the group started at a very loud volume, giving their feedback on my prayer. Yes, Lord, he prays. He's praying right now. Lord, hear his prayer. Help him. I'm just telling you, I got so confused. I'm like, what in the world? I wasn't sure if I was supposed to yell, if it was like an echo chamber service, if they were supposed to yell. He's praying. I was waiting for them to go. And then they calmed down. Then I started praying. Then they started praying. And so it actually was kind of a bummer for them because, I mean, we just do sometimes some different things. And I remember getting up from that prayer time going, man, I really let them down because I didn't know we were in a yelling competition. I would submit to you, and giving myself grace as well, that the problem is almost certainly not us. It can be, but I doubt it. You're here at church on Sunday night because you want to learn some stuff. You didn't come here tonight because you want to, you know, get beat down like, oh, you're a sorry prayer, now go do better. I mean, it sounds like my high school basketball coach. The problem is often the method of prayer.
How do we pray? The method for prayer for most Christians is to pray the same old thing about the same old thing. In almost 30 years of pastoring, I've heard the same old prayers about the same old things for decades. For decades. I remember as a kid, how many of you grew up in like a really conservative, faithful church with faithful parents that took you regularly? Some of you did that. How many remember as kids, and maybe it's just me that did this, when you were around certain people, you already knew what they were going to pray for? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You'd be like, oh, I know what they're praying for. As a kid, I used to write down what they were going to pray, and I'd give myself a grade. I never failed. I never failed. I might get a word wrong, but I always got the concept right, and I was a concept guy, okay? But most of the times, I would get the words right. How do you know those people that they have the warm-up lane, like they have the on-ramp to prayer? It's something like this. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace to us. Now, as we come to you in prayer, well, what was the other stuff? And everybody has their little on-ramp. They say the same, and not everybody, but they say the same thing about the same thing all the time. And I can remember that. I want to be clear. That doesn't mean a person lacks sincerity. They can be extremely sincere, and their prayer may be heartfelt. But when we constantly say the same thing about the same thing, it's because we might be more robotic than we are sincere. And it's the method. And the problem is almost universal. And let me ask you this. Do you think that if our prayer, you ever prayed and you've been bored with what you said? If your prayers bore you, do you think they might bore God? Do you think that God might be going, bro, you got anything else? Now, we know God knows everything, so he wouldn't ask that question, but just help me to understand, or helping us to understand, that God desires us to have a vibrant, sincere prayer life. I was in a service in a distant state when at the end of the service, there was a dismissal prayer, and the pastor called for one of the leaders in the church to come to the platform and pray, and I'll never forget, the guy gets up, and he goes, and if you've been in church, you know this one. He's like, Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your goodness to us and allowing us to be here today. And I ask today as we receive this offering that you'll bless the gift and the giver. Why is it always the gift and the giver? Anybody ever know that? You get that phrase? Some of you even are, bless the gift and the giver. And then it's a dismissal prayer. I just preached. I'm sitting over here on the left or the right side of the auditorium. So I'll be sitting over here. And I'm thinking, am I the only one who gets that this is the wrong one? And then he goes, oh, sorry, Lord, wrong prayer. And he goes, so I pray that you would give us traveling mercies as we leave the church today. Always for traveling mercies. Give us traveling mercies as we leave the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. And the crowd, part of the crowd laughed. Part of the crowd was like, what's going on? And this is what I thought, sincere dude, insincere prayer. His heart wasn't in it. His mind wasn't in it. It was perfunctory. We pray because it's what we do. How many of you have ever prayed for your food and it's just perfunctory? Lord, please bless this Taco Bell. It's better than In-N-Out. Amen. Or whatever. The problem is not the person. Most of the time, the problem is prayer. Here's the method most of us have. We're called to pray. And we didn't have prayer time tonight because I didn't want anybody to pray and then think I was talking about them. So it's just your pastor trying to prevent an inroad of the devil in your life. But here's the method most of us use. And that is, let me think of something to pray about. I hope I don't sound dumb. So I'll say something I heard somebody else say that didn't sound too stupid, and they went home. How many ever done that? I've done that. Like, I'll be at a conference. Pastor Chadwick, you want to come to pray? And I'm like, oh, no. really don't. Can I preach instead? You know? If we're not really praying, and I don't, this is for all of us, then we're performing. Then we're just performing. And God wants to help us in his word. I submit to you that the problem is not the person, that most of the time it's the method. I want you to notice, secondly, the promoter of prayer. Jump back with me to Romans chapter 8, where we were this morning. We'll just be super brief here, super brief. Romans chapter 8, the promoter of prayer, verse number 14. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received the spirit. I can probably read tonight. For if you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I want to remind you of this, that the Holy Spirit is reminding us of our standing with God. We are praying to the God who adopted us. It's really important to remember that the Holy Spirit is reminding us that we are adopted. We can cry, Abba. We talked about this real recently, so I won't delve into it, but the word means Papa. It's a word of intimacy, and then Father, of emotional intimacy, and then remember, Father is intellectual position. So I can call you Abba, Papa, loved one, close to you, Father, provider, protector, sustainer. We're close to the Lord. The Holy Spirit reminds us of that. Would submit to you that the Holy Spirit, part of his ministry, is to remind you of that. And the Holy Spirit encourages us to pray, whereby we cry, Abba, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, or through the power of the Spirit of God. How many of us have heard messages on prayer? We've read a book on the importance of prayer. We get excited about it, as we should. We're renewed with a vigor to start praying, but before long, we're praying the same old thing about the same old thing. And then we feel as though we're a third-rate Christian, and we live really almost in a place of discouragement. Saying something like this, I know prayer is important, I know prayer is necessary. Is there anything that I can find to help me pray better? So for the next couple of weeks, I want to just simply look at a simple solution. A simple solution. I want you to notice the simplicity of prayer. The simplicity of prayer. If there is a solution, and there is, it has to be simple. Simplicity of prayer. God expects the smallest child and the most mature saint to have a meaningful prayer life. God expects people with a low IQ and people with a high IQ to have a meaningful prayer life. People that can't read because they've never had the privilege of an education, and people with a PhD. To have a meaningful prayer life. People who are saved in a village in the middle of Africa somewhere, listening to a message on the village radio because the village has one, or people who went to a good Orthodox Bible college, God expects every single one of us to pray. And he desires it. And it's simple. And before you begin to think like, oh, you know, I'm one of the blessed ones, remember 1 Corinthians 1:26, where the Bible says, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has arranged, I would submit to you, a method of prayer that is really rather simplistic. If we'll just let the Word of God do the work that it does. See, every Christian, I would submit to you, can have a meaningful prayer life. whether we live in Southeast Asia or whether we live in a high rise in San Diego, if we can't have a meaningful prayer life, then who can? I mean, honestly, who can? You're at a church with an awesome bookstore if you never went anywhere else, but an awesome bookstore with great resources on prayer. You're at a church that exposits the Word of God every single week. We have men's prayer, 7:30 on Sunday mornings. I hope more of you will come, that come to their early service. By the way, I want to encourage more of our members to come to the early service if you can. We're starting to really fill up the parking and the attendance at the 10:30 service, which is great. But if all of you come, then the 10:30 service will be empty and I'll be balancing you out. So, but anyway, there's 7:30 men's prayer. It's awesome. We have corporate prayer on Sunday nights, especially the nights I'm not preaching on prayer. Wednesday nights, we have community groups where we pray. We have staff prayer. We have prayer and discipleship. We have staff meetings where prayer requests are prayed for. We pray for one another after the service. I mean, if we can't have a vibrant prayer life, who can? If we can't have a meaningful prayer life, who can? Is it the new convert in a country that is antagonistic to Christ in the Bible, where they don't have the word and they don't have any resources and they don't have the freedom of a corporate service like we have? The truth of the matter is you struggle in your prayer life because prayer is boring, and it's most of the time not you. It's just the method of prayer, saying the same old thing about the same old thing every single time you pray. Now, truth, the reality is this. I know there are times when my prayer life is extremely fulfilling and it seems I could pray for days, but I don't know about you, but those days are few and far between. They really are few and far between. And I want them to be consistent and regular. So I want to give a simple, permanent, biblical solution. A simple, permanent, biblical solution. Since you're bored with saying the same old thing about the same old thing when you pray, I want to encourage you to pray through a passage of Scripture, particularly the Psalms. Pray through a passage of Scripture, particularly the Psalms. Okay. I hope I didn't shake your world. We can also pray for Paul's writings. But I think we would do really, really good if we learned to pray the Bible. We just prayed the Bible. I want you to notice praying the Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Pray in the Psalms. Psalm 23. So many of you know the Psalm. Most of you know this Psalm. It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want to say this. Before I get into the nuts and bolts of this for just a few minutes, I probably won't be too long. But I do want to say this. I want to be careful that enough to give liberty that you really can pray kind of in some ways almost however you want, however you desire. If you're like, Pastor, I love the way I pray. I have my prayer list. I just wake up in the morning and I cannot wait to pray the same old thing about the same old thing every single day of my life. It just excites me while I eat, you know, oatmeal with no sugar or fruit or sweetener. I drink buttermilk because I just like to suffer. If that's you, praise the Lord for you. You're good. I'm not telling you you have to do this to be a good Christian. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm saying for your pastor, this is super helpful for me, very, very beneficial, and I really am encouraged and excited to do it every single day. I want to pray the Scripture. And so for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to give you some different ways that I do it because I just want to put some different tools in your spiritual tools chest for this, what I would say, most important spiritual discipline. There's others of equal importance, reading the word, worship, all that. But this most important one, so praying the Psalms. Well, how do you do that, Pastor? Well, look at Psalm 23. We just read it. This is how I want to encourage you to do it. You pray, or you read rather, a small section of scripture, and then you pray about that small section of scripture. Like I normally pray to the major punctuations or to where the point is kind of clear. Like Psalm 1, which lays it out simple. We were going to start with a simple. And it really doesn't get any harder than this. The Lord is my shepherd. That's where I'm stopping. You're going to pray for the Lord to be your shepherd? No, he already is my shepherd. So I'm going to pray something like this. I wrote it out just so that I wouldn't be so extemporaneous. Lord, thank you for being my shepherd. You're a good shepherd. You're the shepherd of my life. This is my prayer, actually today, because I knew I was teaching on this. Lord, I had a good dad who tried to help me, but he's nothing compared to you. Please, Lord, shepherd me. Help me to follow your will. Please guide my family today and lead them to follow you. Please deliver them from temptation and evil. I pray, Lord, that they will love you like I love you. Please shepherd me as I make decisions about my future. I pray you'll be with the conversation today. And then I just added this to help you understand, because it'd be weird if you prayed a pastoral prayer. Because it'd be like, Lord, be with our church staff today as I yell at them. No, I'm kidding. Here would be something you could pray in addition to what I said. I pray you'll be with the conversation that I have with my boss today. Please shepherd that conversation, or please guide that. Please be with my wife as she sees the doctor. Shepherd the decisions that we have to make as there too. Lord, I don't want to make a move without your leading in my life. You say, well, Pastor, I could pray that about a lot of things. Then keep doing it. If all you did was pray that God would guide you and he brings 57 people to your mind and you spend 20, 30, 40 minutes in prayer, folks, you just won. Because you're not praying the same old thing about the same old thing. And you get up going, man, I just prayed for Casper Stallnecker and I just prayed for Ben Mayer. Ben's got some big decisions coming in his life. And I just prayed for Gavin as he takes up teaching. And Bo, he's in the Navy as he plays video games. And I just, you know, I prayed for Callie Garza, and she's raising two boys. And her husband, if he shaves his beard, is going to look like a boy. And so I just prayed. I'm being silly to bring levity, but you get the idea. There's nothing wrong if God continues to burden your heart. I'm going to tell you right now, when I do this, this is my opening prayer. Lord, guide me to the people that you want me to pray for and the things you desire me to pray for. And so I've literally spent 30 minutes with something no more than the Lord is my shepherd. You say, well, that's not the exposition of the text. I'm not preaching a message. It's a biblical prayer list. Come on, is the Lord our shepherd? Does he guide us? I want to pray that prayer. It's better than a rote prayer book. God's helping us. So then you pray for that, and unless the Lord leads you to keep praying that way, then you'd read the next text. I shall not want. This is what I prayed this afternoon. Lord, I pray that I'll be content with the things that you provided for me. I read that even in the New Testament, that I'd be content with the things that I have. Lord, I'm so often enamored with the bells and whistles of the world. I thank you that because of you, I have everything I need. You love me more than the sparrow and the lilies of the field, and you take care of them. Lord, I pray for my friend Bernie. He's enamored with shiny little candies called Skittles. And he asked me to pray for him. So please help him to find contentment in healthy food. Now, I'm being silly because Bern would never ask anybody to pray for that. He does not want that in his life. But I have some friends that do. And they've asked me to pray in those areas. And so I would pray if the Lord burdened my heart. You say, well, do you need to write it down? No, because if the Holy Spirit doesn't guide me to pray for that, I'm not going to pray for that. So I'm not going to pray the same old thing about the same old thing. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide me as I stay in an attitude of prayer. I prayed this, or added this, just to help us understand. Lord, please be with my friend John Doe. He needs a job, and I pray that you'll provide a job for him. Lord, he's not sinfully wanting, but he does need a job, and we pray that you would meet this provision. I would add, you said if a man won't work, neither should he eat. He desires to work. Please provide a job for him. Lord, be with Jane Doe at church. She has some major medical bills, and they need your provision. Please provide for them. Now I'm not praying the same old thing about the same old thing. Now I'm actually excited to pray for these things, because as I pray for them, you say, well, how do you know who to pray for? If you ask the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to tell you. Well, how do I know it's not Satan? Folks, Satan didn't come to encourage you to pray for anybody. Some of y'all are so silly sometimes. Like, I want to make sure it's not Satan. Well, what are you going to do? Have a seance to figure that out? Satan doesn't encourage you to pray for people. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's not his desire at all. When you're praying the word of God and the desire to fulfill the will of God, I promise you the Spirit of God will speak to you about who and what to pray for. You say, well, and this is true. Pastor, you might say this. Pastor, God didn't really reveal anybody to me. Okay. Then pray and move on to the next verse. I'm going to tell you, sometimes, and I'll bring this up in weeks to come, sometimes when I pray, I'll get through an entire chapter, and sometimes I won't get through one verse. It just depends on the leading and the prompting of the Spirit of God. It probably has something to do with my sinful flesh that isn't always as close to the Lord as I desire to be. Let's be honest about that. But I'm still striving. I'm still working. I'm still striving to attain. But there's times when I can't get through one verse in a 30, 40 minute prayer, time of prayer. And I'm just saying, you ought to spend 10, 15 minutes a day in prayer, 20 minutes a day in prayer. We'll talk about scripture memory and praying from scripture through memory in your life. But you don't need a Bible to sit down. But I'm normally, when I do this, I'm either sitting at my desk with my Bible open, or I'm on my knees in a chair on a bench praying, and I'm praying with the Bible open. Lord, I don't want to want, so I pray that you do these things. Look at the next verse. Verse number 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Lord, I'm really tired today. Would you work it out so I could take a nap? So you don't pray for that. Oh, I do. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. It's okay to ask that prayer. It's okay to lie down in some green pastures from time to time. We have a good God who is gracious and kind. It could be that you're a community Bible study leader or teaching adventure clubs or super church or in the nursery. You might say something like this: Lord, help me to lead my class in the green pastures of your word. And there, from that point on, God might begin to prompt you to pray specifically for different individuals in your class or your group. Lord, Just help me to help them love you more. Help me to help them find you more. And you might start mentioning names and all of that. This would be a great place to pray for someone's salvation. But just as God begins to prompt your heart, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Lord, life is very tumultuous lately. Will you provide strength and stability and calmness? Lord, I have to make a big decision about what college I'm going to go to. Lord, would you give me a peace that passes understanding so that I'll know exactly what you want in my life? Lord, would you guide me in that? And here's the deal. If God prompts your heart about somebody else, you pray for them. If he doesn't, you don't. And then notice, I'm just going to give you 3A because I really like the first part of verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. How many of you ever been dry spiritually? Like, you're like, oh man, I love Jesus because I know I'm supposed to, but I really want Pop-Tarts. And I'm probably more excited about Pop-Tarts than I am prayer. I mean, you're honest enough to say you've been more excited about Pop-Tarts than prayer. There have been many a morning that I've been more happy with the coffee, the smell that's coming out of the kitchen than I am the opportunity to pray. Lord, would you restore my soul? I'm dry. I'm like the dry bones Ezekiel talked about in Ezekiel. And Lord, I need a wheel. No, I'm kidding. That's a pastor joke. Like four of us really got that. But it was a good one too. They'd have laughed. But Lord, my soul is really, really dry. And I just need you. And Lord, I've come. I'm praying. I'm doing this. But I need you to give me a personal revival in my own life. Been a lot going on, not a lot going on, whatever the case may be. And not only am I dry, my wife is dry. My boyfriend just broke up with me. My girlfriend just broke up with me. A lot going on, Lord, and I'm just distracted from you. Would you help me? Would you restore my soul? Now here's the deal. I could go through every single verse here. I could go through every single verse, and we could keep doing this. And we will. We're going to do more of this because I really, really believe this is helpful. This is beneficial. I believe that praying the word is, the modern day term would be synergistic. It incorporates the word of God with the spirit of God as we speak to God the Father. God might tell you no in your prayer, but he won't tell you no like, no, I'm not going to restore your soul. But he might say, no, you don't get the job at whatever company that you're looking for because I have something different that's in accordance with my will over here for you. So he may say no in some areas, but here's the power that I love out of the word of God. And that is this, that I'm almost always praying within the framework of the will of God. Why do you say almost? Because I might be praying and asking God to give me something, which is fair in accordance with the word of God. That's not right. I'm distracted, but I'm not doing it unless I'm really, really carnal from a selfish paradigm. Well, what do you mean by that? Lord, you're my shepherd and I shall not want. And Lord, I don't want anything, but I could sure use a brand new Ferrari for the cause of Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't want it, but if you would provide it, I would make outreach visits really fast. I mean, you can manipulate anything, but from a sincere heart, it really brings the concept of the word and worship and prayer all together. Now, next week, we will talk about, well, not next week, but the week following that, we will talk about how to select a psalm, how to pray, how to use some scripture memory, all of those things. But I want to encourage you this week, just start in the book of Psalms and just go with the date. All right, what's today? The 11th, 10th, 11th, 11th. So tomorrow, look at the 12th and read the 12th. And if you don't like the 12th psalm, which you might not, it might not minister to you. Some of them are less than encouraging. Like tomorrow morning, here's the first verse. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Lord, this describes our pastor so clearly. For the faithful man among the children of men. It might not speak to you. So just add 30 to it. So if 12 doesn't work, then go to 42. If 42 doesn't work, then go to 72. If 72 doesn't work, then get a calculator. Go to 102. And but just add 30, and you'll find one. And if you say, I can't find any, then pick a passage out of Psalm 119 and pray those 8 verses. You say, well, I'm only going to spend, Pastor, 10 minutes doing that. Okay, great. But wouldn't it be awesome to have 10 vibrant minutes of prayer as opposed to 10 like, oh my word, I gotta give prayer time again. Oh, that we would pray the Bible. Here's another cool thing about praying the Bible, and I'm done. Really, I'm done. I closed my Bible, which means nothing. No, it means a lot. It means a lot. Here's what I mean. There's points in my day, because I like to pray in the morning. The Bible says, early will I seek thee. I'm not saying it's a requirement, but that's what I like to do. I like to have my prayer time before I work out. It doesn't always work out that way, depending on the night that I had before and when I got home or something. Hard to work till midnight, you know, be like working till midnight and then be at a 7 o'clock workout. But if I can, in the morning I want to pray. But sometimes I'll have things happen. How many of you have stuff happen in the day that's really, really challenging and you need the Lord? Praying the Bible is awesome because then you could just go back like, Lord, I don't know how to pray. And you just go to that psalm of the day, like the 11th or the tomorrow will be the 12th, and you add 30 to it. So you go to 42 and then you go to, and then you find another psalm and then you can just pray that. You say, well, Pastor, I really feel like praying Ephesians 5. Great, pray Ephesians 5. You can do the same thing. There's not a problem with that. We'll talk the benefit of the psalms, but there's not a bad passage to pray. And so wherever you're at in your day, wherever you're at in your walk, you can pray. Like, let's take this. Like the person who struggles with purity can pray Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 to 32. That's an issue. That's a prayer. I pray that prayer literally 3 to 4 times a week. And Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15, I think it's to 19 or 20, to love my wife physically correct. And then Ephesians chapter 5, 23 to the end of the chapter, about loving her spiritually and emotionally correct. Now, those are part of my scripture memory, but I pray my scripture memory most of the time. And it's life-changing. It gives meat and meaning to what, for most of my life, was task and list-oriented. Imagine with me for a minute if you went on a date with your spouse. Okay, guys, you go on a date with your wife, all right? Ladies will assume this isn't you. But guys, you go on a date with your wife, and you sit down across the table from each other. You take her to, let's think of a really great restaurant. You take her to Ruth's Chris on Harbor Drive, and so you're overlooking the bay, and the sun is setting, and you're sitting there talking with her, and you say, oh, honey, real quick, hold on. Now, I needed to say a few things. Number one, how was your day? Good. How's kid number one? Good. And how's kid number two? Good. Okay, the car still running well? Need an oil change? Air in the tire, gas in the tank? Okay, good. We got that. And for the rest of the night, you just went through a list of questions to ask. Some of you ladies were like, if he asked me any question, I'd be happy. But you get through that. And at the end of it, he's like, okay, well, we're done here. And he pulls out his phone and he starts watching YouTube. Now put yourself on either side of that simple illustration or analogy. Anybody in here feeling super loved, welcome, and warm? Well, he loved me enough to talk to me about what he wrote down. You deserve each other. Nobody's going to feel really loved, welcomed, and warm. You're going to feel like I'm another task. Wouldn't it be awesome if we just use the Word of God to pray to the God of the Word, which glorifies His holy name and enlivens the soul of the believer? And that's our prayer, is that we would pray the Bible. That's the prayer that we have, and that's the desire that I have for you tonight. So tonight I'm just going to close in a corporate prayer. And after I pray, I'll make a couple of announcements. Matter of fact, Zane's going to come and make a couple of announcements tonight. I think I'll make one. And we'll make a couple of announcements. And then we're going to dismiss. But my prayer, which is rare for us, but I don't want to be trite. I just want us to have a passion and a desire to be people of prayer. And our church to be a place of prayer. And people know when they come here, hey, this is a praying people, and it's not silliness in prayer. They're praying the Word because they are people of the Word, and that's how they pray.
Thank you for listening. Find more messages every week at CanyonRidgeBaptist.com. If you're in the San Diego area, join us for a service. We meet at 8:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 5 p.m.